Always expect something good on your lunch hour. Connecting faith with life.
Hi, welcome once again to Connecting Faith. So glad to have you tuned in. Looking forward to today's program. Hoping it will be a very practical and helpful, useful for you, especially if you are interested in maybe developing a business or revenue stream from home or on the side, or maybe as a career change. All those things. Ted, I just met one of our receptionists that for a number of years just retired here a few months ago.
Yeah.
But she stopped in this morning because I had a loaf of banana bread that I made for her.
Oh, so nice.
She
nice
said whenever you. She sees old banana, she thinks of me, which is, I'm not sure if that was a compliment, but anyway, so I, you know, every time I make some banana bread, we always used to share a little bit of that, so I
nice.
Made her a loaf. So I'm not sure if I can make that into a career, though.
Hey, the state fair is coming up.
Well,
you could start
kinda,
there and launch
kinda,
there.
Kind of see me doing making banana bread. We'll have to ask our guest about that, see if
there
is there a chance that I could, you know, become the banana bread king or something.
Yeah,
I'm not sure. Dan Miller is back with us today. Dan is president of 48 Days. It's a LLC specializing in creative thinking for increased personal and business success. And he's authored the widely acclaimed 48 Days to the Work You Love and No More Dreaded Mondays. And he writes for popular magazines and online and been a frequent media guest. And he's been one of our guests a number of occasions, happily married his wife, Joanne, for over 40-plus years. And they're waiting on grandchildren 13 and 14 coming soon, I think. So, and one of the books that we have a couple of copies of No More Dreaded Mondays and Wisdom Meets Passion, which he collaborated with his son writing. And Dan, it's good to have you back with us.
Looking forward to our conversation today, as always.
Today we wanted to focus on when we last talked here a couple months ago, we had several calls from people that are wondering about maybe starting up their own business and what that would look like. And I know that's something that you have helped a lot of people do as a career work coach and an author and a blogger, a speaker. So we wanted to make sure that we could open up the phone lines and take some questions on that today. So if you have a question about maybe it's a home-based business or you're transitioning out of your current work or you need a revenue stream and just would like to find out more, you can call us at 877-933-2484, 877-93-FAITH, and you can certainly sign up for the drawing for these four books we'll give away. Dan, maybe by way of starting, I mean, you've kind of lived this out in your life and work experience. You know, had a couple of degrees and then decided that, you know, maybe there was a different direction you wanted to go. But we see the statistics all the time that more and more people are dropping out of the workforce. Does that mean that they're not looking for work, or does that mean that there are more and more people saying, I'm going to start my own?
Yes, it very much means people are discovering a whole lot of new work models. It's really not an accurate representation that things are bad or the economy is bad, that these people are dropping off the job roles. The way that we keep statistics loses people. If they decide to start a little lawn care business, landscaping business, window washing business, those aren't really picked up. And so it looks to the government and statistics like they are just dropping out. A lot of those people have just simply moved on to something that's much more fulfilling, rewarding, and profitable than simply hoping to find one more job. So there's a lot of movement taking place, but a lot of people are discovering these new work models like contingency worker, independent contractor, freelancer, electronic immigrant, entrepreneur, all those terms that legitimately describe new work models, but they're not that traditional job. And we have to realize that traditional job, we're rapidly moving toward the point where only 50% of the American workforce will be employees. Now, that doesn't mean we're going to have high unemployment. It just simply means that we've got new work models that don't fit into that category anymore.
Well, when it comes to, you know, those startups or new businesses, anyway, I read an article not too long ago. It said that, you know, the success rate's not very high. So why do 80% of them fail maybe within the first year or 18 months?
Now, let me give you an example of how that works. So let's say that somebody decides, gee, I'm going to have my own lawn care business. Pretty easy to get into. You can swing by Home Depot, you know, put a lawnmower on your credit card and put up a sign you're in the lawn care business. And a year into it, you discover there's a whole lot of other people doing this. But you realize your customers need other things. You could do water features, stamped concrete sidewalks, gazebos. Those are all things that are closely aligned with doing yard service and things you recognize as better opportunities. So now Joe's lawn care business is no longer there because Joe started the next business in his entrepreneurial journey. But you know what that looks like to the government? Oh, he's not in business anymore. That business failed. Those businesses didn't fail. Those operators simply found other things they're moving into. The natural journey of an entrepreneur is not to start one business and stay there for 30 years. Not at all. The natural journey of an entrepreneur is to start a business, and 18 months later, they stop it, and they move on to something else. And they move up four or five times until they ultimately find something where they have their greatest success. But all along the way, it's leaving a little paper trail, and that looks to people like, well, they aren't around anymore, so they failed. And it's just not true.
Is that, as you said, that's fairly common, so we probably need to think about that. I guess if we're planning on doing something new, is that once you make that leap, you jump into it, it may be a kind of a transition place, right, where you discover this, but then out of that develop something else. So maybe assume that a year or 18 months into it, you may be doing something, you know, a good bit different than what you had intended to.
That's just part and parcel of the entrepreneurial journey. Doing something where you really bring your creative skills together, it's just absolutely part of the description of what that looks like, because it defies this whole idea of just finding one thing and doing it forever. Embrace the strongest skills that God gave us. It's an ongoing journey. You know, I'm prepared today to do things that I wasn't even a candidate for 20 years ago, or 10 years ago, or 5 years ago. And sometimes when we just do the same thing, we really negate God's greatest gifts to us, that being part of that being in preparation. So the preparation opens up new doors of opportunity for us. And people who are not in traditional jobs recognize that perhaps quicker than anybody. And they just simply say, here's a new opportunity. When you think about, Neil, when you think about changes in transportation and in the music industry, communication and technology that have happened in the last 5 years. I mean, somebody who started a business in technology 5 years ago, if they're doing the same thing today, they're really losing ground. They better be changing. So we're seeing people change dramatically in the businesses they're doing really rapidly. And that's not unhealthy. It's just a sign of the times, a sign of the kind of workplace that we live in. And people can take advantage of that rather than feeling victimized by it if they're prepared.
Well, let's camp on the issue of preparation a bit, because I wanted to ask you about, you know, what are the basics that maybe create a higher chance of success, whether we, you know, call it entrepreneur or, you know, just whatever assign label, I guess, we give ourselves. But we're not in the traditional J-O-B. So what are the basics that are going to give us a better chance of success?
You know, one of the things is just keeping aware of what changes are taking place. And that doesn't mean that you have to spend, you know, 24 hours a day watching CNN. That's not what I'm talking about at all. You'd be better off to turn the TV off, but to be reading industry magazines about things that you're interested in, reading books, going to workshops and seminars, traveling, meeting people who are doing creative things. And one of the real hallmark characteristics of successful people is they spend time with people who are already performing at a level at which they want to perform. And a lot of people just kind of get locked into the sameness of what they're doing. They create their own version of Groundhog Day. So every day is just kind of the same as the day before. But people who are really on the cutting edge, are seeing new innovation, new opportunities, they've got their eyes open. I worked with a gentleman not too long ago. He had spent 28 years working for a major company, had moved into chief financial officer position as his job title. was making $325,000 a year, and the company decided they needed to let him go, bring in somebody, you know, younger and perhaps more efficient with changes that were taking place. And I thought, well, here's a guy that's been in a major company. He really is going to be well-positioned to just transition easily into something else. His description was, Dan, for 28 years, I've had my head down, pencil up. That was his poignant description. He had been so focused on just working the numbers, he was totally out of touch of how the workplace had changed and really struggled in even recognizing what he was a candidate for.
Dan, we'll take a break in a moment, but I'm just curious, you kind of talked about that. Is there a I want to say a body type, but sort of maybe an IQ type, an emotional type or something? I mean, not everybody is maybe cut out to be an entrepreneur or to lead their own business. So how do we determine if we have the right stuff?
Oh, you're absolutely right. That's a really important point, Neil. I mean, I certainly don't encourage everybody to be an entrepreneur, not at all. But what I do encourage people to do is see the broad spectrum of work opportunities. So if they're going through a transition or they're unhappy in what they're doing, to recognize getting another job is simply one small possibility. But taking their skills and identifying five companies that are not large enough to use them full time but could use them one day a week would be a real subtle transition. Or to move into being an independent contractor or doing something online or recognizing they can work for 10 companies at various places around the world, because geography isn't really a factor. That's all I want to do. I just want to help people recognize the broad scope of opportunities rather than feeling trapped by just trying to duplicate what they've done most recently. And this is challenging for people who come out who have maybe worked for a company for 20 years and then for whatever reason, no fault of their own, lose their job. And they just jump right back in looking for the same kind of thing they had before. Guaranteed salary, 2 weeks vacation, 401k contribution, company car, and those things are disappearing. Companies are moving away from that kind of model. There's a lot of companies who are moving totally away from the employee model. We're seeing that with companies like Best Buy, where they have a results-only work environment, meaning their corporate center. They don't care when you come in. They just want to know you did your work. If you've got your son's soccer game at 3 o'clock this afternoon, that's fine. Go ahead and enjoy it, because it's not a matter of clocking in and putting in certain hours. And as soon as you move to a results-based compensation, it opens the door for a whole lot of flexibility. But when you accept responsibility for being paid for results, that opens up a whole lot of responsibilities for you, the individual. And you realize, I don't have to depend on a company to give me a paycheck. I know what my marketable skills are. I can provide that for multiple customers, and it opens up a whole new world of possibilities.
Well, we want to open up the world of possibilities for you and help you with maybe some specific questions you have about being an independent contractor or an entrepreneur, or you know, no longer an employee but still providing revenue, maybe doing the job that you love. We've got Dan Miller with us today. Dan is author of great resources, including 48 Days to the Work You Love, No More Dreaded Mondays. We've got some copies of No More Dreaded Mondays to give away, plus Wisdom Meets Passion, a book that he co-wrote, collaborated with his son to write. Some great insight there, when generations collide and collaborate. So copies of Wisdom Meets Passion and No More Dreaded Mondays available. We'll do the drawing for that. You can sign up for it at 877-93-FAITH. But more importantly, we hope that if you have a question about maybe a home-based business or something you've been wondering about, get your questions answered. Dan has some great insight for us today. We'll talk more in a moment. Take your questions at 877-933-2484. Or if you want to just drop us a note, use our online connection at myfaithradio.com and then click on the Connecting Faith show page. Use the email link, and we'll talk more with Dan Miller in just a moment. Banging on the the Dremel Day may not help completely, although there is something about taking time to reflect, though.
Yeah,
you think so?
Sure. You turn that into career power, too.
Yeah, okay. You were just in Haiti. I don't know if they were banging on the drums.
We heard some drums, yes.
Yeah, we did. All right. Well, we're talking today about, you know, how you can maybe transition away from what traditionally has been the career path to something that might be more fulfilling, might be more rewarding, maybe a financially more successful. I mean, hopefully all those things. Dan Miller has been there, and he's done that, and he understands it well. He's the president of 48 Days LLC, and he's author of the great book, 48 Days to the Work You Love, No More Dreaded Mondays, Wisdom Meets Passion. And he also hosts a weekly podcast, ranked number one under careers on iTunes. We're honored to have him with us today. We want to talk specifically today about those, you know, how to move into that other 50%, you know, no longer the employee, but maybe it's the contract worker, or you're an entrepreneur. And Dan, I wanted to, we'll get to some maybe specifics for recommendation for the stay-at-home mom, but I'm wondering about how important is it to, say, own the process from beginning to end? What do you have, advice you have in terms of collaboration?
Collaboration really opens the door to a lot of things. I mean, when we talk about somebody being an entrepreneur, a lot of times people cringe because they think, well, you know, I'm not really good at technology. I don't really understand computers or data input. And I'm not really good at finances. That's okay. I mean, nobody is successful alone. And that's really a fallacy that if somebody becomes an entrepreneur, that they're going to do everything by themselves. You still identify, just as you would in going to get a job, what are your two or three most marketable skills, your most valuable competencies? And when you do something on your own, you simply link arms with people whose skills surpass your own in those areas where you're weak. And a lot of people hurt themselves. They hurt their possibilities for success by diverting away from what it is they do well and just trying to become better in all their weak areas. But now collaboration is that's the new word, actually, today in business. It's not competition. It's collaboration. I have a lot of people whose skills, whose work is really closely aligned with what I do. I mean, authors, speakers, coaches, those are my closest friends and people that I share most with and depend most on because we share resources and opportunities.
You know, we somehow think, I guess, if it's our idea, a product or service that seems like there's a niche in the market, say, well, I don't really want to give that away, because there's a competitive advantage for me to kind of run this from the beginning to the end.
Well, that's really, again, a thinking that hurts people, and it comes from the idea of scarcity rather than abundance. The feeling that there's only so much success available to go around, and if I share that with somebody, then I have less for myself. But that's not really the way that it works at all. If we take something like an invention as an example, Neil, where somebody has the next best mousetrap, whatever, they've got a little door closing system. The risk is in not sharing that with people and investing a lot of time, energy, and money in developing it. And I run into this all the time. Somebody, you know, will call me and say, I've got now 10,000 of these in my garage. What am I supposed to do? Well, that's where you get into trouble. The best thing to do is share your idea freely, right up front. People are busy with their own lives. The risk of somebody stealing your idea is much less than the risk of not getting effective input on the front end to help you make it better. So it's even that way in writing books. Beginning authors a lot of time write their book in secrecy, and then they stand up and they have their book held tightly to their chest and they say, give me $20 and I'll tell you what's in here. That's not an effective strategy. When I write books, everything I have in there has been shared freely with people in advance. They've given me their input and advice about how to make that better. All I do then is just put it together in one simple form, and people are ready to buy it because they've already told me they're ready to buy it.
Interesting. Well, and that brings up, I guess, maybe a sort of related issue about they've told you they're ready to buy it. So how do we know if there is a market for our product or service?
out in advance. Years ago, I started an auto accessories business where I would do like pinstriping and running boards and sunroofs and those kind of things. Before I ever spent a penny, before I got a business card, I went to 12 of the biggest car dealers in our town where we lived. And I told them exactly what I was thinking about doing and asked if they would be a potential customer. I did that before I ever risked a penny. They were all extremely receptive, assured me they would, and that proved to be exactly true. The day I started in business, I had more business than I could take care of. But you need to do the research to see, is this product or idea valuable? Will people be interested in this before you invest the money to gear up in that area?
I guess there's probably always that issue of price point, too, then, right? We joked at the beginning. I mean, I could be making banana bread all day, but my hourly rate wouldn't be really doing very well, probably.
Well, I kind of like that idea. There have been some people that started with rotten bananas and making banana bread and have gone on to be extremely successful. You know, when you mention that, I mean, one of the ways that we experiment is to learn young. It breaks my heart to see kids who are coming into the workplace at 21 years old, and they've never really experienced the connection between work and generating income. They grew up in a cocoon where mom and dad went to work, and they don't even know what mom and dad did. They kept going to school, went to college, they got a degree, and now they think there's some kind of magic process by which the world's going to give them $80,000 a year because they have a degree. And we hear those really, really sad stories day after day after day where there's just no connection there. But what if that child had been encouraged to have a lemonade stand, you know, when they were 10 years old? I mean, I have, you mentioned in this introduction, I have a significant number of grandchildren. I mean, we were just out in Colorado. My 9 and 10-year-old grandsons, I helped them prepare before the farmer's market, and we cut 57 boards from aspen trees that they had on their property. Their dad has a mill, so we cut those, had really cute boards that were about half an inch thick, and then about 16 inches long. At the farmer's market, these 9 and 10-year-old boys would take people's names, and they just handwrite it on the board, and then they use a router to route that out. Just a very simple name plaque, $10 a piece. They made $147 in an afternoon, 9 and 10 years old doing that. But that connects real work with people's willingness to give you those certificates of appreciation that we call dollars, a reasonable trade-off, but they recognize there's work involved in doing that.
We're getting great insight today, as always, from Dan Miller, who has joined us again. Dan's president of 48 Days LLC. I want to make sure we give you the website where you can go if you're interested in some entrepreneurial ideas, 48days.net. We're going to talk more with Dan in a moment. He's authored several great books, including Wisdom Meets Passion, No More Dreaded Mondays. We've got copies of those we're giving away. And love to take your questions about starting up business. 877-93-FAITH, 877-933-2484. Happy to talk today with Dan Miller, president of 48 Days LLC, specializing in creative thinking for increased personal and business success. He believes that meaningful work blends our natural skills and abilities, our unique personality traits, and our dreams and passions. And Dan helps individuals redirect careers, evaluate new income sources, and achieve balanced living. He's authored great books, including 48 Days of the Work You Love, No More Dreaded Mondays, and he co-wrote with his son Wisdom Meets Passion, When Generations Collide and Collaborate. Got some copies of his books to give away at 877-93-FAITH. You can sign up for that. And join us with a question or comment as well as we talk about finding some of those maybe new income sources. Dan, one of the things that I was thinking about, a lot of times it seems like maybe a new innovation has to get established before people realize how valuable it is. I mean, we didn't know that we needed maybe overnight delivery till FedEx did it, or maybe one-hour photos until somebody actually started doing that. So, do we need to sort of step out even when it doesn't seem like there's a a solid market behind it?
It's in question. There has to be indication that there is a market readiness for it. But with anything that we do that has a potential to be really big, it's going to be disruptive. I mean, if you look right now, what's happening with Airbnb, where you can rent a place to stay. They don't own the hotels. They came into an industry. There was a lot of resistance to that. They're still getting a lot of pushback from hotel owners and from some cities that think they're violating zoning and all of that. But the company is valued at $20 billion. They're valued at a higher rate than Hilton Hotels and all these established companies that have years of experience and real property. That's the power of a disruptive idea, a new idea. If you come in, hold your head high, and just do it with excellence. So it doesn't take a long time if the idea is really, if the market is really ready for the idea. Then we have to test that. We have to be willing to be persistent. It's not going to happen overnight. But if you've done your homework and prepared right, there are some amazing opportunities ready for us today.
You mentioned about your grandson's, you know, making a little bit of money with a little bit of work and a good project. Should we expect, if there's something we want to try or we need to maybe change career directions, we don't have to start making, you know, $80,000 right away a year, right? Is it enough if we, you know, get a few hundred dollars to sort of get our feet wet and see and learn in the process?
Well, if you can create a reasonable transition plan, I mean, I'm certainly supportive of that. What often happens in today's environment is somebody realizes they want to test the waters. They want to do something on their own. Most of the things that we're talking about don't require that you just put in another 40 hours in something new. So if you wanted to do an online business or you wanted to have a little service business where you're going to mow yards or wash windows or you're going to coach somebody or write a book, those are all things that don't require you just stop what you're doing and devote 40 hours to it. But if you devote 10 to 12 hours a week over a period of even 90 days, it's amazing how much clarity and how much traction you can get. So what I encourage people to do who want to make a transition is don't stop what you're doing now, but create a plan so that you can see the trends very clearly and you have a reasonable chance of switching totally to your new venture between 3 and 6 months. That's the timeline that I give for that, even if you're starting something brand new. So if you need to generate $40,000 a year or you need to generate $4,000 a week or a month, let's just use that as an example because the math is easy. So you need to generate $1,000 a week, let's say, ultimately $52,000 a year. What would you have to do in your new business? What would have to do that by just simply working on a simple business plan? How many customers would you have if you're mowing yards or if you're coaching or if you're writing an ebook? How many would you have to sell in order to generate $1,000? And then create a plan where you can see that happening. Now you have to do the marketing. You have to sell. You have to somehow convince people of the value of what you're doing. It's not enough just to create the product or have the ability to provide the service. It is that marketing piece, and that's what trips a lot of people up. I mean, even with authors, as you'll understand, I mean, Mark Victor Hansen, co-author of Chicken Soup for the Soul, told me years ago, Dan, everybody wants to write a book. He says, what I tell them is this, write a book, do a really good job, now you're 10% finished. 10% is providing the product or having the ability to provide the service, 90% is that marketing. So if you're realistic about that, boy, it can happen in a pretty short period of time. But 3 to 6 months is the timeline that I look for somebody to replace their entire income.
You know, you mentioned a couple of things. You know, maybe it's helping someone write a book or, you know, mowing lawns, those things. I know that on the website, 48days.net, it's sort of a gathering point for people that are trying to, you know, come up with some ideas. I'm thinking maybe to talk to a stay-at-home mom, maybe someone who was in the workforce some time ago but is looking to come back in some way or get some revenue. They're probably not going to be mowing lawns, but are there some areas that you'd recommend, say, these are kind of hot products and services, or have you thought about this?
Yes. There are so many things that can be done. and the things that can be done on like Etsy, which is a site that embraces people who have creative skills. So if somebody's knitting or doing simple artwork, you know, they can have in our making little decoupage boxes. I mean, they can do that and promote them there and sell them. So the infrastructure for selling things is already there with places like eBay and Amazon and Etsy and a host of others. That really fills a big gap so that you don't have to just put a sign in front and hope that people come by. But there are so many other things that can be done as well. Now, you may have an affinity for making really good kettle corn. So you sign up to be at a local month and at the Main Street Festival twice a year and discover you can make $2,000 on a good day just making popcorn because the margins are just phenomenal and that kind of thing. I mean, somebody may decide to be a piano tuner. I mean, people who are piano tuners, it's not something you hear about. It's not something you go to college to get educated for. You can take a simple course to make you good and you may be able to make $70,000 or $80,000 a year doing that. But even the simple things you kind of joked about your banana bread, my goodness, the things that have expanded from that where somebody becomes really known for an area of specialty. And I have a client right now who bakes cakes, not that far removed from what you're doing, but she does it in a very artistic way. She was just on Good Morning America, and she's filled up a cruise where it's other ladies who want to bake really interesting cakes. But, you know, just things that we wouldn't expect to be possible, in fact, are. If you really position yourself as an expert in a particular area, something that you enjoy, it doesn't have to be high technology or rocket science, something you enjoy, the opportunities can really expand from there.
Thinking you probably wouldn't have trouble getting the husbands to go along on that cruise, right? So gals are baking cakes, guys are eating it. So
That's right. Sounds good. That's right.
My guest today is Dan Miller. Go ahead.
Some of the things that, we like to start our children early around here, and I love seeing that happen. But when my oldest son was 14 years old, I sent him to a window tinting school in Atlanta just for a week. It's a specialty, but it's not something where we're talking about 4 years to learn a week. But he came back and just doing window tinting, which was really becoming popular. So he would do Jags and Mercedes and Volvos a couple afternoons after school, and he was making $500 or $600 a week as a 14-year-old, which then funded his bicycle racing hobby. He wanted fancy bikes. That's fine. But instead of being a dad just says, well, we'll go down to the bike shop and I'll write a check. It's no. If you want a $2,000 bike, let's figure out a way that you can earn the money to do that. But those kind of skills at 14 have carried through and is very successful entrepreneur today. That's all my children are. But the next one did bicycle repair before he had his license. We distributed flyers in the doors of the 422 houses in the subdivision that we were living in, did that one time at the beginning of summer, and it filled his schedule for an entire summer doing bicycle repair. And again, as a 14-year-old, you know, making $300-$400 a week doing that. My daughter, when she was just old enough to peer over the edge of the counter, became known for her apple pies. And she would take a sign-up list, the school, went to a church school, and take names of people who would stand in line for her $25 apple pies. But again, my children have gone on to recognize there's opportunities in so many places, and it's just a matter of choosing what it is you want to invest your time in and creating a simple model. That simple model, I mean, the model that I use in finding your sweet spot, what is it really we're looking for? And it's a convergence that's where everything comes together that blends your passion, your talent, and money. There has to be all three. There are three legs to the stool. But if you can figure out a way to blend those three, then you're home free. Opportunities for meaningful, purposeful, and profitable work are right there.
Dan, you've been talking about, you know, sending your son to a window tinting school. And I know one of the things you say in your books that you talk about it is that besides, you know, reading books, going to seminars, learning a new skill. Why is that so important? How is that going to help us? And what does that look like?
Yeah, great question. Here's how we kind of break that down. If you're doing something where it's easy for somebody else to do it, there's not going to be much monetary reward in that. So if you're asking people, do you want that in plastic or paper, or do you want fries with that? If you don't want to do that job, there's 10 other people right behind you that can do it. But as soon as you develop some kind of a skill that other people don't commonly do, and it doesn't have to, it can be something as simple as what I just described, knowing how to tint windows, knowing how to carve wood or do sculpture or grow specific plants. Those are all things that really are skills that start to separate you from the pack. And if we take that on up, I mean, if you do brain surgery, that's not something that a whole lot of people can do. And thus the compensation for that is extremely high. So you have to have something that makes you unique, something that makes you stand apart from the pack. If it's just something that anybody else who breathes can do, and I see a lot of resumes like that. I mean, even people with college degrees, the resume, anybody who breathes would have the same competencies that they're describing on there. So looking for your unique value is a really big part of standing apart and then being compensated accordingly.
Good words from Dan Miller, talking about 48 days to the work you love, No More Dreaded Mondays, Wisdom Meets Passion. Those are titles of books that he's written. We're getting insight today on how we can maybe launch out into a new phase of work, where it's not just being the 20, 30-year employee, but maybe it's an independent contractor, or it's an entrepreneur, starting your own, finding a revenue stream. Taking your questions and comments at 877-93-FAITH. That's 877-933-2484. Or you can drop us a note at myfaithradio.com and then just go to the Connecting Faith show page. There's an email link there. We're going to talk a little bit more. We had a listener question about entrepreneurs and taxes, and we'll see if Dan can weigh in on that. Take your questions, comments as well. Coming up in a moment, Dan Miller, president of 48 Days LLC, with us today on Connecting Faith. You want to move into maybe a little higher level of kingship, you've come to the right place today, getting some good insight today from Dan Miller. Dan is an author, a speaker, a coach, helping us discover a meaningful work that blends our natural skills and abilities, our unique personality traits, and our dreams and passions. And Dan has written about it well in several books, widely acclaimed book 48 Days to the Work You Love, No More Dreaded Mondays, Wisdom Meets Passion. The subtitle's there, When Generations Collide and Collaborate, and he wrote that with his son. And we've got some copies of his books to give away at 877-93-FAITH, 877-933-2484. Caller wanted to know, Dan, about entrepreneurs. Are they likely to run into tax issues, or is it fairly easy to navigate through IRS self-employment, the paperwork? What are some thoughts about dealing with the tax side of this?
That's one of those areas where I don't want to have to learn all about that. It's extremely easy to engage somebody who understands it completely. It's not a complicated process at all. And when I look at the alternatives, would I rather make $30,000 a year and not have to deal with all that, or open the possibility of making $100,000 and have to deal with that? Yeah, I'm going to take the latter any day of the week. So I pay a lot of taxes, but all that tells me is that I'm doing pretty well in my business. So I don't regret it. I don't complain about it. Well, I shouldn't say that. I probably do once in a while. But it just opens up so many possibilities. It's not complicated. I mean, you could start making money on Amazon or do Fulfilled by Amazon, which is a program they have where you can go to garage sales and buy things and ship them to them. They'll ship them out and sell them to the customers. I mean, it's a wonderful program. So if you make another $20,000 a year doing this, you just show that as miscellaneous on your income taxes. Not a big deal at all. Do you have to pay taxes on that? Sure. Should you anticipate taxes? Sure. If you're making money on your own, you ought to have in reserve 25% of whatever you're making. So it's just have some kind of a formula where you learn very quickly what your tax bracket is going to be and just put that aside. But not complicated at all.
Yeah. And again, just to, you know, assume that, build that into your business plan. 25% is for your tax, and go from there. So Karen in St. Paul asks, as a house cleaner, she said, what is something that I could do to add to or add on to that and set myself apart from the rest of the cleaners? So we talked a little bit about sort of the skill separating yourself from the pack. How would you advise Karen in this area?
Yeah, golly, great question. I love that. She could perhaps leave a meal prepared on the day when she comes. So there's a meal on the stove ready to go for that family. Or if they have an event coming up where she offers to coordinate the details of the event, to set up, have some of her other friends there helping her, and then break down, clean things up afterward. I mean, that, you know, those are things that can put her into a whole different category rather than just being one more gal who, you know, washes windows and sweeps floors.
You know, I was thinking, you talked about, you know, your kids when they were younger, thinking if, you know, if you're not 10, but you're 60, maybe you've just been downsized or 55 plus, and you're looking, say, not quite sure how to start over or to get started. What do you recommend for someone that's on the upper end of the work cycle?
5 or 60, certainly I would not expect them to start over. Okay. I would expect them to be in a much more advantageous position than somebody who's 20 years old because of their work experience. So we're going to draw on that. I mean, I've had the privilege of over the years working with physicians, attorneys, dentists, pastors who are saying, you know, I don't want to do this anymore. Or they are let go unexpectedly. We don't start over. We still look at what validation can we give to their experience academically and just work experience so that it positions them for something really unique in moving forward. And we always are going to do that. But people don't come to the table at 55 years old with a blank slate. They bring a wide array of valuable skills and competencies there. Companies are looking for people. When we talk about that earlier, the kind of new models, and you know, I explained to you, I think, before we went live that I have 14 assistants. I don't have any employees at all, but I have 14 people who I depend on daily to do things of value in my company. It's just structured a little differently. But somebody who's 55 years old, I'd have some real developed skills where they could reach out to a company that's not interested in adding another employee where they have to guarantee salary and benefits and medical care and all, but could use the services of that person if they clearly describe what that is. In the last couple of years, there have been a whole lot of people, 55 and 60, who have lost their jobs. For many of them, it's discouraging. But for even more, it was simply a wake-up call where they woke up a dream they had that had been buried all those years just because of trying to be responsible, and it gave them the opportunity to really step out and do something unique. There's one gentleman here who just started a limousine service. I mean, he's having the time of his life, has always enjoyed cars, got out of a job unexpectedly, and started his own limousine service, and is just having the time of his life. Lots of examples of that. A pastor who is now an artist. Got another pastor who has his own little he's teaching people how to do urban gardening. And you would be astounded at the financial success that he's having in doing something that simple.
Dan, if we wanted to start a business in a year or that we want to make a transition and say, what can I do today that 6 months from now or 12 months from now, I'm going to be much better prepared to do something other than what I'm doing right now?
Well, I encourage certainly to talk to people who are already doing exactly what you want to do. Get advice from people like at SCORE, the arm of Small Business Administration, where they're volunteers to help you shape and develop your idea. The people like that in every community. Spend time reading, but spend time experimenting with that. So you don't just start cold, but spend time experimenting. talking to people. If I were to start a house cleaning service, what would you be looking for that would make it really unique and valuable to you? If I were to start baking banana bread, you know, how many loaves of that would you order for your restaurant if I were really able to make them available on a regular basis? So do that kind of research so you're in the game closer and closer and closer to actually launching that little business.
Tell me a little bit about 48days.net and, you know, the importance of sharing ideas and what happens there and how encouraging that can be.
Yeah, I love what's happened there. 48days.net is not our primary site, but it's a place where now over 15,000 people have raised their hand and said, I've got an idea that I'd like to turn into something significant. And so these people share their ideas and resources in the most generous way that I've ever experienced. So there are writers. We have about, I think, about 1,800 strong at this point, writers who have shared ideas. And there's a whole lot of those who now have published books and are reaping the success of that. Some of them have done like ebooks where they made $60,000 and never got a deal with a major publisher at all, but they just got in the game because they learned from other people there how to do that. There are speakers, there are coaches, there are people that have more traditional bricks and mortar businesses. There are a lot of artists, musicians, and these are people who are just willingly sharing their ideas and resources, not seeing each other as competitors, but as collaborators, and knowing we kind of use the old cliche, a rising tide raises all ships. And that's really what happens. When somebody helps somebody else, everybody's success is elevated. And that's what's going on at 48days.net.
Now, at your,
it's free. There's no cost to be involved. There's no cost to be involved. It's just a matter we do require that people apply, and it's screened by a committee to see if you answer questions in a way that we think you'll be a valuable member. Because we want people there who have as much ability to give as they do need to receive.
Good words. And on your other websites, which is what, 48days.com, is it?
Yes, 48days.com. There, find the more traditional resources, some videos there that will walk you right through the process of discovering how God has gifted you, what your passion is, and how you can put legs on that in focused work.
Dan, just so we got, you know, about 90 seconds left or so, I'm just wondering if there's a final word of encouragement you want to give, you know, people today. Say, you know, there is hope. There's, you know, change. There's an opportunity to see some dreams come true.
Oh, yes. Well, thank you. Yeah, I'm asked that a lot. And one of the things that I love to tell people is that it's never too late to have a new beginning. So no matter where you are, I mean, I hear from 27-year-olds who think they majored the wrong thing in college, and now they're just going to kind of coast into the grave. But you got to be kidding me. You know, you need some life experience to even know how to ask the right questions. But wherever you are, it's never too late to have a new beginning.
Good words from Dan Miller. And you can find out more about his writings and the resources available at his website, 48days.com. Or if you want to sign up and be part of a working group, sharing ideas, entrepreneurs, do a little collaborating and ways that you can help generate revenue, you can go to 48days.net and discover that as well. Dan's written several books. I recommend them to you. No More Dreaded Mondays, Ways to Ignite Your Passion, Wisdom Meets Passion. It's When Generations Collide and Collaborate. It's helpful. And then, of course, the widely acclaimed 48 Days to the Work You Love. It's all available from Dan Miller joining us today, president of 48 Days LLC. If you missed part of today's show, you can always catch it online. You go to our website, myfaithradio.com, and then click on the Connecting Faith show page. We post the interviews there. So you can listen to the whole interview again, or maybe a portion you missed, or pass it on to a friend. And appreciate you joining us today on Connecting Faith. It's myfaithradio.com and the Connecting Faith show page.